The Curses and Spirits article is up on the website, and it's strong meat to prepare us for getting the leaven out and to enter into that purpose for which the Son of God was manifested. If we will submit to God by the power of the Word, Blood, and Spirit of Messiah, we can be more than conquerors in this Antichrist war on the saints. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua. And there is a list of about 60 such instructions of God to His people, how we may avoid giving the devil a license to hammer us. And there's also a fairly comprehensive list of demonic spirits that should be cast out in deliverance. There are instructions of God to His people that do have curses tied to them when people fail to take heed. Yeah, they are instructions of God to His people that have to do with curses tied to them when people fail to take heed and pay attention to those instructions of God. And these things give the devil a license to hammer those who violate them. And we need to understand that these are not curses that come from hexes or Satanists. These are curses from which the blood of Yeshua and the power of the Holy Ghost should redeem us. But they do depend upon us. Yes, they do. Yes, they do depend upon us taking heed, paying attention, doing what God says. We've got to pay attention and take heed and do what God says and pay attention to God's instructions. And truly, God's people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Now, how do you tell the difference between a good priest and a bad priest? A good priest gets his prayers answered. You getting your prayers answered? Well, maybe you have forgotten the law of God. That's how you can get to be rejected as being a priest. Now, you shouldn't be rejected. Jesus Christ has made us kings and priests unto God. Now, if you're a priest, if you're a good priest, you ought to be getting your prayers answered. I'll tell you this, the Father only has one answer if He will hear a prayer. Yes and amen in Christ Jesus. So there's really something that we need to get serious about, and that's this law of God, these instructions of God to His people. And children, they catch on to this quick. Curses follow disobedience, and blessings follow obedience. Now, when is the last time that you cast the devil out in Jesus or Yeshua's name? When's the last time you did that? When's the last time that you had a devil cast out of you? Brethren, it's a sad commentary on the times that the vast majority of physical and mental infirmity is demonic, and the church is not doing anything about it. They're sending them to the psychologists. They're sending them to the doctors. And this is sad. Do you ever wonder why no preacher or teacher ever tells you what the Word of God says that Paul's thorn in the flesh was? They will tell you anything and everything except what the Word of God tells you that Paul's thorn was so explicitly it could not possibly be anything else. Do you ever wonder why none of these preachers and teachers ever tell you what the Word of God says Paul's thorn in the flesh actually was? The Word of God in 2 Corinthians 12:7 tells you what Paul's thorn in the flesh was with such explicit certainty that there is only one possible thing that Paul's thorn in the flesh could be, according to the Word of God. Do you believe the Word of God? Have you ever heard what Paul's thorn in the flesh actually was, according to the Word of God? Chances are you've heard just about every explanation for what people think Paul's thorn in the flesh might have been, except what the Word of God tells you that it was so explicitly it could not possibly be anything else. And when you read it, you will probably not believe it. So here's some help. Jesus Christ, comma, the Son of God, comma, destroyed the works of the devil. That sentence would not be correct without those commas. Jesus Christ, comma, the Son of God, comma, destroyed the works of the devil. That sentence would not be grammatically correct without those commas. Whether you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God or you don't believe it, the sentence would not be grammatically correct without those commas. Now, those commas have a purpose. Those commas link. Those commas tell you that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and the Son of God is Jesus Christ. That is the purpose of those commas. That's what those commas do. Now, here's another hint for you Greek scholars regarding what Paul's thorn in the flesh was according to the Word of God. In Greek, it is an angelos satanas. Anybody good at Greek? Anybody good enough at Greek to know what an angelos satanas might be? That's what Paul's thorn in the flesh was in Greek. Now, if you'll just go ahead and read 2 Corinthians 12:7, you'll see that the scripture will tell you what Paul's thorn in the flesh was. And please tell me, according to the Word of God, and not according to what you heard so-and-so preacher or so-and-so commentator say, what was Paul's thorn in the flesh according to the Word of God? The Word of God is very explicit on this. 2 Corinthians 12:7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, comma, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, comma, lest I should be exalted above measure. Yes. The thorn in the flesh, comma, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, comma. Those commas tell you Paul's thorn in the flesh was the messenger of Satan to buffet him. And the messenger of Satan buffeting Paul was Paul's thorn in the flesh. Yes, the Greek for Paul's thorn in the flesh is angelos satanas. Paul sought the Lord three times for deliverance from that demon in his flesh. The Lord told him no, that his grace would be sufficient. Why? Why? For us. Yes, for us. That's why Paul carried that thing. Through his whole ministry for us, yes, it was for us that Paul did carry that load of a demon in his flesh throughout his whole ministry. Why? So that we would know that if Paul could have a demon in his flesh, then why should we ever think that we could not? Paul carried it for us, who will have to deal with demonic manifestations like no people who have ever lived. Brethren, the war on the saints is real. And having been involved in deliverance ministry for over 25 years, I simply tell you that if Jesus said there are demons, you better believe the Word of God and not follow the thuds and duds to hell. When that fifth trumpet sounds, that particular bad bunch of demons that were sealed up at the time as Noah's flood are going to be let loose, and men's hearts will fail as they look at some of these fearful things that are coming. Don't you think it's about time that you get ready for this Antichrist war on the saints rather than playing church in pre-trib la-la land and get shocked out of denial when it may be too late to learn what you really should know now? In deliverance, this is the ticket. You want to understand what deliverance is all about? It's all about be submitted to God. Be submitted to God. That's how deliverance is wrought, being submitted to God, so that you have the positional authority and can clearly follow the lead of the Holy Spirit. That's what it's all about, brethren. You see, Jesus is the deliverer, and the Holy Spirit provides the power to deliver. So it is all about being submitted to God, so that you have the positional authority and can clearly follow the lead of the Holy Ghost. 2 Corinthians 7:1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Number one, submit to God. Number two, then resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Submission to God is almost a foreign concept to this crooked and perverse and rebellious generation. Now, here's the simple formula. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, if we rationalize, if we self-justify, if we make excuses, if we deny our sins, we are not in submission to God. Romans chapter 2 is really a big help when you want to get in and try and get this thing right. Romans chapter 2. We ought to be reading Romans chapter 2 about once a week. It is very, very helpful in this regard. And then we submit ourselves to one another in the fear of God. Ephesians 5:21. We submit ourselves to one another in the fear of God. And then we obey those whom God, not man, not some seminary, not some church board, we obey those whom God has placed and called and ordained to rule over us, for they must give an account. No one, brethren, you've got to understand this, no one can be in authority who is not under authority. I'm going to say it again. It is impossible, and no one can be in authority who is not under authority. Check Hebrews 13:17 on that, and also check Luke chapter 7, along about verses 2 through 9. There's only two things that Jesus ever marveled at. One was the faith of that Roman centurion, and the other was the unbelief of the people in the Galilee area around his own hometown. But he marveled at the faith of that centurion. Study why Jesus was wowed out, if you will, by the faith of that Roman centurion. He said, look, I have not seen in all Israel such great faith as in this Roman centurion. And the key to it is when he said, I too am a man under authority. He understood authority, because you cannot be in authority unless you're under authority. But study that whole thing in Luke 7 about that Roman centurion. You'll see what having real and powerful faith is really about. It's about the positional authority that we have. And then we follow these people as they follow Messiah. If they ever deviate, we do not follow them to hell. No, we don't. Now, we should recognize that if we fail to recognize God's call and God's placement of someone in a position that we can be under their God-ordained and God-positioned authority, if we fail to recognize that, if we fail to respect the call of God on the man whom God has called, that is to fail to be in submission to the one who called him. And see, all of a sudden, you're not in this submission to God. And then you just simply cannot resist the devil. See, there's only one way you can resist the devil. You've got to be submitted to God. And that means you've got to be able to recognize who your authority is. And you cannot be in authority unless you're under authority. Now, there are God-ordained authority structures, and the devil all the time is trying to put you under bondage to some sort of control which is not in God's will. And they do this. I mean, this is what churches are doing all the time. They're working witchcraft. And Jesus said he hates this thing, this Nicolaitan spirit of control. It's witchcraft, priestcraft. And God hates it. And that's what's done all the time. In other words, you've got to do just thus and so, and be just this and that, or you can't be part of the inner circle. Well, brethren, here's what it's all about. The Lord Jesus Christ is our great high priest. There is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And you don't let people be put in that position of the mediator between you and God. But you still find your authority and you stay under that God-ordained authority. Listen to what Paul says about compromising believers who refuse to love and obey God's holy word, that they all might be damned. What? Yeah. This was written to believers now. You better pay attention. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 12. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. It was written to the church, man. You got to understand this, brethren. Woe to those who know the truth about their lusts, but who do not believe that God will judge them. Here are the ominous results, brethren, of not believing and acting on God's truth. First, the heart becomes hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And second, Satan works on that hardened heart to justify itself so that it is relieved from all fear of penalty. You see, that's what the devil does. See, the heart first becomes hardened by the deceitfulness of sin, and then Satan works on that hardened heart to justify itself so that it's relieved from all fear of penalty, see? And then, when God sees there's no possibility that this heart will receive and obey the truth, he turns the person over to satanic delusion. And then the believer becomes blinded by the lie that says there are no wages for sin and no judgment day and that he can get away with his lustful pleasure. And then the believer finally falls prey to the doctrines of demons, thinking evil is good and good is evil. And on judgment day, God will say to such a person, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity." Now let's just take a quick summary look at the Gospel of Mark. It's a good place to start to understand how great is the need for deliverance. "And there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit." Well, what's he doing in the synagogue if he's not a believer? Okay, "there was in their synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, 'Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God.' And Jesus rebuked him, saying, 'Hold thy peace, and come out of him.' And when the unclean spirit had torn him," yeah, a lot of times, brethren, this is not pretty. "And when the unclean spirit had torn him and cried with a loud voice, he came out of him. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, 'What thing is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him.'" And this is true, brethren. Before the Lord Jesus Christ came, there was no way to get these devils cast out. But now there's no reason why you shouldn't get them cast out, other than ignorance and pride that you don't want to believe you got them in there to get cast out, and ignorance about how they got in there and how to get them out of there. But let's keep going, because the gospel is very clear about these things, brethren. "And he healed many that were sick of diverse diseases, and cast out many devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him. And he preached in their synagogues throughout all Galilee, and cast out devils. And unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried, saying, 'Thou art the Son of God.' And he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach and to have power power to heal sickness and to cast out devils. And the scribes which came down from Jerusalem said, He hath Beelzebub, and by the prince of the devils casteth he out devils. And he called them unto him, and he said unto them in parables, How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. And if a house be divided against itself, that house cannot stand. And if Satan rise up against himself and be divided, he cannot stand, but hath an end. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he will first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. Verily I say unto you, all sins shall be forgiven unto the sons of men, and blasphemies wherewith soever they shall blaspheme. But he that shall blaspheme against the Holy Ghost hath never forgiveness, but is in danger of eternal damnation, because they said, He hath an unclean spirit. For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother, and my sister, and mother. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave. And the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled, and told it in the city and in the country. And when they went out to see what it was that was done, and they came to Jesus, and see him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion sitting and clothed, and in his right mind, they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine, and they began to pray him to depart out of their coasts. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. And he called unto him the 12, and began to send them forth by two and two, and gave them power over unclean spirits. And they went out and preached that men should repent. And they cast out many devils, and anointed with oil many that were sick, and healed them. And whithersoever he entered into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets, and besought him that they might touch, if it were but the border of his garment, and as many as touched him were made whole. For a certain woman, whose young daughter had an unclean spirit, heard of him, and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto the dogs. And he answered and said unto him, Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, For this saying, go thy way. The devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone, and her daughter laid upon the bed. And he spake that saying openly, and Peter took him and began to rebuke him. But when he had turned about and looked on his disciples, he rebuked Peter, saying, Get thee behind me, Satan, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answereth him, and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tare him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child, and oft times it cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us, and help us. And Jesus said unto him, If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried, and rent him sore, and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, He is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, Why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. And John answered him, saying, Master, We saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followeth not us, and we forbade him, because he followeth not us. But Jesus said, Forbid him not. For there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me, for he that is not against us is on our part. And therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire when ye pray, believe that ye receive them, and ye shall have them. And when you stand praying, forgive. If you have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. It is sad, brethren, that most in churchdom today have been taught that born-again, Holy Spirit-baptized believers are exempt from demons in their flesh and mind. And the truth is that Christians are the high priority targets for the demons. And here's what the Lord Jesus Christ said in Mark chapter 16, verse 17. Mark 16, 17. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. And why do you think all these new perversion Bibles want you to have this removed from your Bible? So these unborn again, powerless, faithless, blind leaders of the blind don't have you asking, how come the Lord said this and we don't do that? Well, look, use your mind, brethren. This is why they want to remove these verses from your Bible. Jesus Christ said in almost 100%, 95% of all ancient manuscripts have this, and 100% of all the oldest manuscripts have this. Yes, it belongs in your Bible, as sure as anything in your Bible. Jesus Christ said in Mark 16:17, and these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. Yes, that's the first sign. And yes, it is in 95% of all of the old manuscripts, and it is in 100% of the oldest. There's only 5% of what they call old manuscripts that don't have this. This is very certain, very sure. If anything belongs in your Bible, this belongs in your Bible. And your new modern perversion Bibles cut it out. Why? So the unborn-again ministers of the devil can deceive you. That's why it's cut out. People calling demons character flaws. What people may call character flaws or besetting sins. And brethren, this is terrible when you find people calling demons character flaws or besetting sins. And we got a list of those. It's a pretty comprehensive list. Brethren, it just makes sense to be on the safe side and call them demon spirits. What do you got to lose? Just your demon. Don't you want to be set free? Most people have carried these things so long that they think it's natural to be this way. Well, it's not, brethren. And biblically, I hope that you can see that it's a whole lot better if you would term these things and name these things demons rather than if you would name them character flaws or besetting sins. the majority of these things quite likely may be demonic spirits. And the child of God should have these spirits cast out by making the sovereign act of the will to take back any ground given for such demonic spirits to operate in their mind or flesh. And such spirits can be cast out by the power of the blood of Yeshua through repentance. That's where it's at, brethren. These spirits are cast out by the power of the blood of Yeshua through repentance. You don't want to repent? You're stuck with it. That's where it's at. You see, you've got to make the sovereign act of your will. The spirits are cast out by the power of the blood of Yeshua through repentance, and that sovereign act of the will to take back any ground for such demons to be in us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Yeshua.